Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, I was hitting you up for your fried green tomato recipe. You want to do a quick one for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Always wash any vegetable you're working, or fruit, as it is, that you're working with very well. And you slice your tomato, I would say maybe about a quarter of an inch thick. And it's a very simple breading procedure of cornmeal. And you want a pretty fine grind to your cornmeal.
You want to salt the slice?
No. Actually, we salt them. We used to add salt to the cornmeal breading procedure, and we found that it's just best to salt them when they come out of the fryer.
It's hard to manage that.
Well, you know what salt does? It draws out the moisture. So especially if you're attempting to bread them at least a little bit before you're cooking them, because you want to get your prep done if you're having guests over or family. So you can bread them, maybe an hour before you're about to use them, if you want. So a little bit of cayenne pepper, the cornmeal, and that's all you're going into. There's nothing else. And that's one of the reasons why they're so good. I used to put flour in there. We used to go into buttermilk first. And it's just, I've adjusted this recipe over the years because I've been making fried green tomatoes.
So it's just the tomato slice with cornmeal and cayenne.
Exactly.
Just cover it nicely.
Both sides. Put it on a little, sheet pan on parchment paper. And then when you're ready to fry, I do fry in peanut oil. Of course, if you can't use peanut oil, you could use corn oil or canola oil, but something neutral.
And neutral like lard.
Or you could fry in lard like they
used
to
do in the
South.
Go back to the 1890s, yeah.
So, and then they really only take a few seconds. I mean, it's probably, maybe 45 seconds to fry, and you want to see them be golden brown, and that's it. And, there's a million different things you can serve with them.
But then you want to salt them nicely on both sides when they come out of the fryer while they're still warm.
And
right?
If you like pepper, you could hit it with a little bit of pepper too. But really the cayenne is kind of just opens up the flavor, I feel like. Well, we were also talking with the call-in person was asking about other uses for green tomatoes. And in the pickling process, I would use pickling spice, water, vinegar, and a little bit of sugar. And go ahead and make your pickling mixture, bring it up to a boil, let it cook for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and then strain that mixture and do a small dice of the, or even a large dice of the green tomato, and drop it in for about 30 to 40 seconds on medium heat, and then just take it off and let it sit in there and cool down in that liquid, and they are phenomenal. It's one of the things that I like to serve with something that's fatty, like magret or foie gras or pork.
See, and I was just thinking you could have a really nice piece of grilled fish with that.
Well, you would think that way.
A little heirloom tomato relish or something.
You're the healthy one, and I am the
extremely
healthy one.
I'm trying to live forever. And it will. So we have a bunch of different calls. So let's go to Tim in Walkersville, who's growing 25 types of heirloom tomatoes. And so, Tim, maybe tell us your three favorite heirloom tomatoes that you're growing and maybe the hardest one to grow.
Okay, the hardest one to grow, Webb Cinnicon Peach, I think, hands down. It's a fuzzy. I'm sure that you guys are familiar
love
with
them.
It.
Yeah, they definitely tend to mold up pretty much, don't they?
Yeah, unless, especially if I don't keep my plants pruned properly. So, they can be, a bit of a challenge, but I've had good success with it.
Yeah, I know that's one of those things that the farmers I talk to, they all have to get good air movement around those fuzzies, or they mold up really, and they're thin skinned too, which is kind of non-intuitive. But
they're
beautiful tomatoes.
Well.
No, but there's something we always look for in the markets like crazy.
Delicious.
Yeah, another favorite of mine is Ananas Noir. It's a black tomato.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a fantastic one. One of my favorite things to do with my heirlooms is I make a sandwich, crusty bread, ciabatta, whatever looks good at the bakery or the store that day, avocado, a handful of basil, some home-cured bacon, and
good for you.
Sliced tomato.
Sounds good.
That sounds really good, Tim.
A little extra virgin olive oil.
Thanks very much for the call.
Absolutely, and go Maryland tomatoes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We agree.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
A quick tip for listeners, you're making me think about it, the different colors of tomatoes, because you see them all the way from white and yellow to like a gold color to orange to, the German stripers that are kind of, red, pink, yellow,
so
gold all at once, to darker colors, the purples and blacks. Mm-hmm. The darker the color, usually the higher acidity in that tomato, especially in its skin. So I know a lot of times you like to use different colors, not just because it's pretty on the plate, but you like to use it because you have some that seem more like fruit and some seem more tart, and you get a more balanced dish out of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's go to Mike in Baltimore City, who wants to share a favorite tomato recipe. How are you, Mike?
Hi. It's coincidental. As the show came on, I was literally in the middle of preparing one of my favorite tomato dishes, and it's very simple. It's simply a thin sliced tomato with fresh basil and either a soft mozzarella. My wife likes Asiago cheese, and we pour a sprinkle of olive oil with crushed garlic in it.
Very good.
And you had mentioned that now is the time to have cherry tomatoes, but we started early, and we've actually had two different types of tomatoes we've been picking for 2 weeks, and today I just picked my first big beefs, which is a beefsteak.
Oh, good for you. You must be so excited. Isn't it just amazing to walk outside and pick your own fruit and just start working with it? What a wonderful thing.
It's absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I don't, there's a name for this. I don't know what it is, but we love it, and we eat it all summer long.
Thank you very much for the call, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
The dish he's thinking of is caprese, which is what, you know, the classic Italian dish. And usually it's buffalo mozzarella, which is fantastic, but much fattier, creamier than the cow's milk mozzarella. And, you know, really pretty ripe tomato and fresh basil and olive oil. And the particular, honestly, I think the olive oil is kind of what drives the dish.
Absolutely.
It's like, how strong of a sauce do you want? Because that really is the sauce for the dish.
Well, this is a time of the year where I usually have three different types of olive oils, and I use them according to, I mean, it's the sauce, basically, for the salad. And I use whichever one, whether it's a little spicy or a little bit more fruity, prettier, more flowery, depending on if I'm serving it with the tomatoes or if the tomatoes are tasting differently, I might use a different olive oil. So, yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, oils,
caprese is such a great salad.
Olive oils from different parts of the world are also, it's a little bit like different singers. You know, there's some that are sopranos, like Tagliacci, and some like Frantoia from Sicily, which, you know, is almost like a bass baritone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many different varietals and so many that cultivars that go into the olive oils. It's a little bit of a matter of finding the voice that you like to carry that dish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Lillian in Baltimore City, who wants to share a tomato recipe from Spain.
Hi.
Hi, Lillian.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How did you learn your Spanish tomato recipe? Did you learn it in Spain?
I studied abroad in Spain, and I've always loved tomatoes.
Good
but
for you.
In Spain, they just love to let tomatoes, you know, stand on their own and really be like the center of a whole piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that how often you just see, I mean, the simplest thing, just tomato salad with Spanish olive oil and like a tiny bit of minced onion. And it just allows like every tomato to really stand on its own and be the centerpiece of the whole dish.
Did you study in Barcelona or in Catalonia?
In León, actually.
Okay. Hmm. And your recipe?
Oh, really? That's just it. I mean, totally what you were just saying about the olive oil. Every tomato with any different kind of olive oil is its own little special dish, and I like to get a whole variety of tomatoes at the farmer's market and set up like a little tasting experience with different tomatoes and different olive oils.
Where you were studying, did you see pan con tomate a lot?
Mm-hmm, everywhere.
And that, you know, you were saying, you know, it's just the simplest of things, but to have, you know, the crushed tomato with a little bit of olive oil on great bread, it's just, I mean, it seemed like it was everywhere when we were in Barcelona.
Perfect. Yeah, I love it.
Me too.
Thank you very much for the call, Lillian.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
The Catalan version, pa amb tomàquet in Catalan, they always have green garlic or fresh spring garlic that they rub the bread with once it comes off the grill, and then the oil and then the tomato
good.
And then the salt. Yeah, it's
perfect.
Ridiculous. Let's go to Barbara and Frederick.
Hello. Enjoying this show so much.
That's nice.
I have a green tomato growing outside.
You must be excited.
I can hardly wait. But I wanted to ask, my grandfather, back in the early to late 50s, he grew an acre of tomatoes and shared them with mostly the widows in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a variety. It wasn't the big red ones like you see now. They were sort of a medium size. They stayed a little green around the stem. And they were the most delicious tomatoes. And I can remember my cousins and I sitting down on a hot August day in that tomato patch.
That's awesome.
The sun beaming down and the fragrance of the stems and those delicious tomatoes that we would just eat right out of the garden. And a storm came, and we didn't even stop. We just sat and ate those hot, wonderful tomatoes. But I was wondering if by any chance you can tell me maybe what that variety was. It was, like I said, it wasn't anything like the big red ones, though it was red, orangish maybe color. Red.
A couple of questions for you. Was this Western Maryland or?
No, actually, I should have told you. This is down in Goochland County, Virginia.
Mm. Okay. And you said sort of red-orange?
Yeah, they weren't the real bright red like you see. They were what I would call a medium red, and near the stem, it stayed green. And I recently read that people have bred that out of the tomatoes, and that's where the flavor is. And when I heard that, I thought, oh my goodness, that's why his tomatoes tasted so good.
It's going to sound funny, but there's a variety from southern and southeastern Virginia that I go looking for usually this time of the year when I can find them, called Boxcar Willies, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Great name.
Yeah. So that sounds like, if it's something that's about the size of a tennis ball or smaller.
Yes, about a tennis ball.
And
yeah.
Pretty round in shape, not one of these fat guys, but pretty round. That's probably a Boxcar Willie.
Well, I'll tell you, they were the best tomatoes I've ever put in my mouth, and I'm going to look for some of them.
They are pretty darn good. There's a farmer named George Ratka that always grows those.
And
in the eastern part of Baltimore County, it's a really warm spot, so they do well.
He goes to the market at 83 on Sundays.
He's there at the Sunday market.
Yeah, so you can find him there.
I have to look, and thank you so much.
That was a beautiful story, Barbara. I can see you sitting in the field now. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, it was lovely. Thank you.
Very nice.
Let's go to James in Pikesville. How are you, James?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hi, James.
Hi. I had a question. I love tomatoes. I love summer vegetables. I always struggle with picking red wines with those. Are there any general characteristics of wines that you compare with good, vegetables from the summer?
Well, I'll let you be the detective a little bit, James. What with tomatoes in particular, what's the leading characteristic of tomatoes?
Probably the acidity.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So there's your characteristic you have to find in the red wine that you need. The rest of what you do, and that's a good question and a useful question, I think. Appreciate that.
No problem.
I think that's the rest of it is really about what you're serving the tomatoes with. If it's a matter of having a tomato salad or something, you don't require any tannin. Tannin's the sort of chalky business that makes you want a big red wine with a lot of tannin to cut through, to balance out fat in a steak or something like that. But the acidity is what's important. One of the reasons why Italian wine is a pretty easy default, or wines of the north of Spain are a pretty easy default for tomato dishes. So let's do one more call. James in West Baltimore.
Herman, how are you today?
James.
Good. Hey, James. How are you?
Very happy to hear from you.
I'm doing well.
I still remember some of your pork wisdom from talking on the Dan Roderick show a couple of years ago.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
Very good.
Right. So, nice to hear you.
You have tomato wisdom for us?
Green tomatoes, I kind of do them like Sydney was talking about how she does hers. However, what I use is... Because that way, what I have done, serve them with a little goat cheese or something like that, and it come out real well. Also, do grits and shrimp with a little bit of tomato in that, and then serve them with that, and it comes out very well that way, too. And another thing, my mother used to fix them in what she called a tomato pudding, like with a little bit of biscuit or something in it with a little sugar and make like a pie. And I have used them with red tomatoes, and that come out very well also.
Almost like a tomato cobbler or something.
Yeah, right.
Make a biscuit crust and make a little topping on it and have your tomatoes nice and sweet.
Come out very well.
Yeah, right. my great-grandmother make a dish a little bit like that with tomatoes and peaches together.
Right. Now, this Boxcar Willie... I've heard that term, I don't really, not that familiar with them, quite frankly. But like the lady said, sitting out in the field eating tomatoes haven't come up on my grandfather's farm in North Carolina. we used to grab one, cut it open, put a little salt on it, and go to town, you know. So, yeah. So this is very interesting show.
Well, thanks, James.
That's how I'm utilizing. I find it to be very adaptable, you know. I do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's a fun time of the year to be a cook. Thank you, James.
Exactly.
When we come back on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine, we're taking your calls. It's all about tomatoes, 410-662-8780, or toll-free, 866-661-9310.